Let's face it. You need help. You understand?
Wow.
You're fixated on that one thing that happened that one time. Now you don't got no girlfriend.
How to tell your Desi parents about your non-Desi partner? We actually got a lot of questions on how to approach your parents about just a relationship in general. Do you have any personal experience?
And hopefully you are with someone that you know your mom is going to like. If you're not with that type of person, good luck, Charlie.
You guys already know that we do very frequent advice sessions, but this one is coming after almost a year. So you guys had a lot of burning questions for us to answer. Obviously, we are not professionals at all. All we can do is really share our experiences and some of our own advice to make it feel like you're here with us, just talking, yapping with your besties, right? So some questions that we are answering in this episode is how to stop bed rotting. Another question might be that you guys have been asking us for years is how do you introduce a partner to your family that might not be from your culture? Another question that was very popular is related to just work-life balance and your career. What do you do when you're a new grad and you're starting work for the first time ever? What do you do in that free time that you have? Do you spend it with your friends? Do you just like study up on that work before you start? Do you travel? In this episode, we share all of our experiences, our personal advice, and what we would do in your situation. So we hope that you keep on watching or listening so you can learn a thing or two.
Bienvenidos.
Oh my God.
Our podcast is called Difficult Dish, and we welcome you to our podcast about different South Asian narratives.
That's good.
It's a podcast that is hosted by her.
Me, Huakan.
I.
Y tú.
I wasn't expecting that.
Thought of that old Spanish.
Yeah, Manush Manur. You don't like my alter ego name?
Manush Manur.
Okay, same thing.
Wait, who called you Manush Manur again?
I've just heard both of them separately. Oh, you know, no one's ever said them. Like, so I've heard Manush, I've heard Manur. I thought it would, like, you know. That's just, like, you know, the version of me that, you know, just, like. Okay. Before getting further, like the video, subscribe to the YouTube channel, rate the podcast, review the podcast.
Helps a lot.
Please do all of the above. I ask you that you don't hyperfixate on my pample on my face. She gave me this side. I want that side.
That's
listen, we can't win it all.
Someone called him Zit Face. Because of the pimple on his face.
Who?
Let's not even get started on that. But it's not true. He's not a zit face. Just because he has one pimple does not make him a zit face.
You guys think
you're a zit face.
Yeah, what's up? Like, what's up?
Well, I'm excited for this episode because it's going to be very casual. You know, I have my makeup on. I also can't look at you directly in the face if you're watching the YouTube video because I have blue light glasses on.
I'm side-eyeing
you because I don't want the screen to be reflected. But just know that I'm looking at you directly into the soul when I'm speaking to you and I'm, you know, doing this advice session with you. But yeah, we haven't done an advice session, I think, since April. So it's been like 11 months.
Been a while. You know, honestly, I feel like at this point we've kind of hit most of the things that like brown people need advice on.
We think that, but it's not true.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
But
there are still so many things we haven't hit.
But yeah, I enjoy doing these, you know, because it makes me realize that like I don't know nothing, but like I'm still like trying my best to, you know, like feed y'all and like, you know, give y'all like my input and like my feedback and stuff. But you know, like it's just like a humble reminder, like, I gotta work.
Humble reminder. I see.
Yeah, like I gotta work on these things too, you know. So like y'all not alone. Y'all not alone. Yeah.
But we're excited for this one because it's gonna be like casual, sounds like just, you know, your besties talking to you, giving you some of our own personal insight and our experiences. It's not gonna be anything professional, obviously. We're just giving you some of the experiences that we've personally had and giving you the advice that maybe have worked for us. So don't think that we're like your therapist, but we're just trying our best to like give you some sort of feedback and insight, right?
Yeah.
And it's gonna be a shorter one, and we hope that this is still great, short and sweet for you, and we can kind of just get right into it.
Oh my god,
the questions, personally, he hasn't even seen yet.
I haven't even seen them. Yeah, I'm going this blind. So if I'm not saying anything, you know, fruitful, you know, don't mind me, you know.
Yeah.
Zero preparation for me, but you know, I'll try the best, very 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 best that I can.
What was that?
Okay,
someone said, how do you stop bed rotting?
Wow. What a question.
I feel like I'm more of a bed rotter than you.
You are more of a bed rotter than me. I'd agree.
But my thing is, I like bed rotting on certain days. like it might be an exclusive Sunday out of the month. I think if you're bed rotting every single day, that might be a little bit detrimental to you mm-hmm. and your health, right? But also some people bed rot because they're depressed or they're going through their own like mental health issue. But if it's in your control, some bed rotting techniques that I have to not bed rot anymore is to have something on my to-do list that makes me feel like I'm contributing something to the world, whether that is me, you know, working on a design and having like that that long-term goal of me coming out with the design and eventually helping someone embrace their culture through the clothing and the design that I made, right? Or just having a fruitful to-do list that I can look forward to, you know, when I wake up in the morning. How do you stop bed rotting?
Man, I don't know. You know, I think bed rotting, it could be like segmented between like morning bed rot, you know, afternoon bed rot and nighttime bed rot, you know?
I think we both do a lot of like nighttime bed rotting. Like, you know, scroll time.
But that's like, you know, half an hour before bed. That's not bed rotting. Okay, that's true. Like bed rotting is like you are doing nothing. You're in bed from like 8 o'clock until you sleep. Just scrolling for like 4 hours. That's bed rotting. I feel like morning bed rotting, I've never had an issue with, I think, because I've just always loved morning. I love morning.
Yeah.
I love sunshine and like hearing birds chirp. It's true. And especially coffee. You know, like you make fun of me for loving coffee, but I think being excited about like my cup of coffee in the morning, it literally helps me get out of bed.
Yeah.
And also like I love getting coffee from outside. So like it helps me like exit my house and like get some like outdoor space too. Mm-hmm. And like that really helps me out during the day. You know, it helps. It just gives me like a little boost in the morning, you know, like now that I gotta go outside, I gotta, you know, put some moisturizer on my face and change my socks. And, you know, I have to prepare myself a little bit.
You have like self-care routines that you look forward to.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, gotta put a hat on, gotta, you know.
Right.
So I think when it comes to morning bed rot, you just have to find something to like obsess over for the morning time.
Yeah.
I completely understand like the desire to just want to stay in bed all morning. It happens to me sometimes. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's fine if it happens. But you really just have to like become like obsessed with something about the morning. Whether it's the birds, whether it's going on a walk, whether it's like trying to get a workout in the morning.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, like talking to, you know, like replying to some text, like whatever it is, like I think getting yourself to be excited about the morning, whether maybe it's like you're really excited to like make like a nice unctuous avocado toast, you know, like that helps you get out of bed because you're like, I can't wait to have my avocado toast. You know
something else, I think bed rotting, you're a lot more susceptible to it when it's cold outside, when you feel like going outside, when you are and you it's like rainy, dreary. Also on top of that, the people that you follow, right? Like bed rotting happens when you're comparing yourself to a lot of other people and you're just like scrolling and then overthinking it, and then you feel more bad about yourself because you're comparing yourself to someone else on social media. It really helps when you kind of have like a home feed refresh where you maybe unfollow or mute people that you don't really care about and they're making you feel bad, and follow people that actually inspire you to get up out of bed and just explore life again or explore your passions or career or whatever it is, because there are some people that will have this unattainable life that you feel bad about for not having, and it'll make you get like more and more sucked in, whereas there are other people that have more of a life that could seem unattainable, but they have more of like an aspirational journey that you can follow, and that helps me a lot. And then also just like getting excited about being in my own city again and doing the things that I love. Obviously it happens more in the spring or summertime or fall when it's nicer weather, but it helps a lot when you just have more things to look forward to outside of just like work and your coffee.
You know? So interesting, like in Florida I used to always go through like the afternoon slump. It's like something in the South where like it's like peak heat and peak sunshine brightness, so like people just die off in the in the afternoon, and then they like re-energize like at nighttime, and I was one of those. But honestly I don't really get that here. Like I feel like I don't get like that afternoon like burnout because it's not hot out. It's not like it doesn't have like that brightness to it, like and you still see people like out like making stuff happen, you know. It's like, so I like feed off like the energy of like everyone still being active in like the afternoon, late afternoon. But like as you've seen, like mine, like before, my night times used to be like I used to be going, doing something. Nowadays I don't really do that much no more. I think it's just because like during I make everything happen during the day.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. Yeah. And I think I'd say like it's okay to like give yourself a little bit of bed rotting time in the day. You know, like I think in Florida, I gave myself like the leverage. Like, you know, I'd make a lot happen in the morning. I make a lot happen at night. Between 3 to 5 is cool. I don't gotta be super active. You don't gotta jam pack your day 100%. Yeah, it'll help. You gotta do it all the time. I think it's okay to you know, allow yourself some time in the day, but like make sure in the other space of the day, you're making something happen.
Yeah.
You know?
And then one last thing that I have to say about this, and even just doing chores that you don't like, or even getting out of bed if you don't feel like it, is setting a timer. Sometimes your body needs to just like scroll and, you know, bed rot a little bit, but if you set like a 5-minute timer and actually follow through with it, it helps a lot because it pushes you out of bed. Like even me, I don't like cleaning. I don't like, you know, doing the things that you need to do, like doing laundry, whatever.
It's not long.
But sometimes I'll set like a 5-minute timer to do the dishes, and that forces me to get in a race with myself to see how much I can accomplish in that time. And it forces you to be more motivated, you know? So I think that is a great thing if like time limits on your apps don't work.
Maybe we could get like a little timer going for tonight.
Ah. I don't know.
You see this is how it goes.
So someone asked, 2 months between now and first office job, they're a new grad, and what would you do with this large amount of free time before work responsibility hits? First of all, congratulations. That's a huge
congrats. Deal. Big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal.
So 2 months before you start your first big boy job, what do you do?
Ah, oh, man. That's very interesting.
But you also necessarily might not even have the money to do much, like travel or this and that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the obvious thing is, yeah, go travel, go, you know, live out your days before you are, you know, hunkered down, shackled, anchored down into, you know, your Monday through Friday. If you could do that, by all means, please, please, the very best thing that you can do with your time. And once you are hunkered down, that is all you're going to be thinking about, you know. See your friends hanging out on a Tuesday, 2 p.m., your unemployed friends, you can get jealous.
Yeah.
It's normal.
I think the best thing to do also is to hang out with those friends, because you are so lucky if you do still live with like your childhood friends or the people they grew up with in the same area. Really cherish that time with your friends, because once your free time gets filled up with work and just being an adult, it is so much harder to maintain those friendships. Obviously, you will still maintain it with the real ones, but right now when you don't have that many obligations, it's so important to like still see them and be a kid, because like once the real job hits and the bills start hitting, you're an adult and it's just like life is so different. And
yeah,
if you choose to make it that way, it'll become monotonous and not as fun, but it's up to you to change that perspective, you know.
Yeah, and like spend time with your parents too, like before you get really busy and you're not gonna be able to see them as much. You know what? Try to allocate some time for them.
You know,
take them out for a little bagel in the morning. You know, things that you're not going to be able to do later on.
And I think the last thing that I would say from my end is try to have some routines now before you start working that are sustainable enough for when you are in that workflow, because you need a couple of weeks and even months to get into the flow of things. So maybe, you know, go to the gym early, or going to the gym like after work hours, but having that habit formed earlier on so you can kind of just seamlessly get into that when you do start work, because work is going to start taking over, especially in the first few months of you starting a new job. So yeah, just have like those self-care routines and like that gym flow or meal prepping and getting into that habit earlier on, so you're not as overwhelmed later on with like all this extra stuff on top of learning a new job.
And just enjoy it, you know, like being an adult sucks. Being anchored down with 9-to-5 shit sucks,
but also it's fun if you think
about it. It's fun, but nothing is better than kind of being a kid with you know, the braces off. So
you remember that era,
basking a little bit. Honestly, I never really had it.
Yeah,
it's been a while, like ever since I've been working like in school like my whole life, since the gas station days, you know. So
yeah,
you know, I haven't really had
here you go talking about the gas station
since I was
days again.
10.
All right. Someone said, how to tell your desi parents about your non-desi partner. So we actually got a lot of questions on how to approach your parents about just a relationship in general, or someone that is not from your same background or culture, and how to just approach that conversation. So personally, I have never had to come to my parents, you know, being with someone that is outside of my culture, so I don't have too much personal experience with that. I can only talk about like friends and family members and people that I know in my community who have had that conversation and have had to deal with like that hard, you know, blockage.
Mm-hmm.
But like, do you have any personal experience?
I mean, I don't even think it doesn't even make sense for me to talk about any sort of past relationship I've had, because I've just never introduced anyone to my mom. I never saw anything going past entering that, because I knew my mom would act some sort of way that it wasn't gonna work.
Have you now been able to introduce anyone to your mom?
What's going on right now? You asked that question as if like you like were expecting a certain answer.
Yeah, have you?
No. So back to you know the question. My sister is married to a white man.
Wow, there, we said it.
It's a fact now, you know, they're married.
Yeah, they got to the good part.
No point hiding it, you know, the pictures are up. Yeah. My sister's
married. I mean, why would you hide that? That's a beautiful love.
Yeah, yeah. My sister's married to a white man, and I love him. I adore him. He is amazing. He's an amazing addition to our family.
Yeah.
I won't go super in-depth into my sister's experience, because my sister's experience. But what I can say is that, obviously, my mom wasn't on the boat in the beginning, but she has come on the boat, you know.
Mm.
And I, you know, some key points of advice that I think I witnessed through, you know, by being like a third party, seeing it go around, having being in communication with the both of them, is that one, my mom is very, very, very proud of my sister and all of the work that she's put in her life and where she has come in her life. So I think that is one, the most important thing. You can't really be asking them for this and that when you're a bum, you know? When you are,
like,
you know,
if you haven't,
when you don't really know what you're doing, when you don't really engage in conversation with them, when you don't have a good relationship with them in general, you know, you can't just go 6 months without talking to them, pop out, "Mom, look what I got," you know? You have to, like, the foundation has to be there first before,
like, you
anything.
Have to have your own self like foundation,
yeah,
before you bring like a partner into the picture that might not be as welcomed into the family.
And I think, you know, before that, even obviously, like, every family is different, but like, go into it knowing that this is gonna be tough, and, you know, get ready for like the roller coaster, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not going to be easy. You can't expect them to take it lightly either, you know. Like, us now, like, when we turn into parents, we look at interracial marriage, okay, it's normal, people are, yeah, human is human. You look at them, you know, they come from different lives, so, you know, you gotta have like the little, you know, the you gotta understand that, like, it's not gonna be an easy process.
Yeah.
So I think, like, that's one, that's two. And it's really, like, if you were to have like conversations with your partner, I think your partner also has to understand that they are also entering a roller coaster, and they are going to have to put in 150% to, like, mm-hmm, make it work. And
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Hopefully your partner's on the same page. You got to make sure that your partner remains on the same page.
Yeah.
Because it can't be something that, like, you take your foot off the gas, you know. They really have to do their part into, you know, becoming accustomed with the culture, understanding where the older generation is coming from. You can't expect your partner, like, your partner should not be like, "Oh, like, I'm going to show up just how I am. They got to accept me for who I am."
Yeah.
To an extent, yes, but, like, they also have to put in some of that work to make this happen. I think, you know, the backbone of all this is that it is work. It's not gonna be easy, and you gotta get ready for a ride. But
it also really helps when the partner that's not from your culture is accepting of your culture and trying to embrace it
for
your parents, you know.
Of course, you know, hopefully that's a given. You know, they gotta love who you are, and they gotta know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, lastly and most importantly, you gotta thug it out. You know, you gotta thug it out. It's gonna be tough. You know, your relationship might get severed a little bit.
Yeah.
Might be, you know, a little month, 2-3 months, whatever it is. Y'all not clicking, you know, might have some real heated arguments. You really gotta, you know, be in it for the long run.
Yeah.
You know, be in it for the full picture. And you know, stay committed to the game plan. You know, you can't, you know, if they get mad at you, you can't just like take your foot off the gas. Be like, oh, like, okay, I don't care what they think anymore. I'm gonna go about this however the way I'm gonna go about it. If that's how you're gonna do it, cool. But like, I think that just makes it tougher. You
yeah.
know, so get ready for the ride and like stick to the game plan. And
and guess what? You gotta be ready for this relationship. Like, there are a lot of people that are dating outside of their culture, and they get scared of approaching their parents ever about this conversation instead of just like dealing with it and having the hard conversation. So they just break up even though they don't want to. So it's like, yeah, that happens. But if you're really serious about your partner and you want it to go somewhere long term, like, you have to have this, like, you cannot ignore this. You have to have this conversation. You have to have that establishment on your own 2 feet first, so you can like show who you are without this person, and that you actually brought something to the table beforehand, but also have the strength and discipline to follow through with this hard conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think, you know, like, one thing that, you know, I'm sure my sister thought of, like, when they first got together, was just the fact that, like, the guy that my sister ended up marrying, he is the type of person that, like, my mother loves, you know.
Yeah.
Regardless of skin color, like, you take this person's personality, you take who they are, all their characteristics, this type of person my mom loves and adores.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my sister was, you know, she knew that, so I think she was more willing to like go about how difficult the journey was gonna be, because my sister knew that like my mom would end up loving this guy just because of who he is.
Yeah.
So if hopefully, you know, you have this piece of information in your head, hopefully you are with someone that you know your mom is going to like. If you're not with that type of person,
good luck, Charlie. How do we do that?
You know, wishing you the best, but
maybe that's why subconsciously we have to like have really high standards for our relationships, because we know that if once we tell our parents that's it, we have to be with them forever.
Yeah. But hopefully they're that, and you know, you can use that as like a little bit of just plant that in your mom's head, like, mom, by the way, this type of person, how you feel about it right now, I know you're gonna love them. You know, and just bank on that, you know. So
Yeah. Okay, someone asked, advice on how to approach therapy, especially if it's like your first session and you don't know how to get it going. As someone who's not open or vulnerable, how'd you do it?
Like, we're talking about like before like the first session, or like we're talking about like the first session?
Well, maybe we could talk about both briefly.
Word. Before, I mean, let's face it. You need help. You understand?
Wow.
You need help.
We're a tough love channel here.
You need help, okay? You need help with something. I know something's going on. I know, you know, you're fixated on that one thing that happened that one time. Now you don't got no girlfriend because of it. You know, now you're not talking to your mom because of it. Mm. Whatever it is, you need to talk to a professional that is able to weave, you know, put the pieces of the puzzle, you understand?
Find the root of the problem.
Because you know what you got? Lots of pieces to the puzzle. Mm. You know what you can't do? Put it together. Dummy.
And that's okay.
Dummy, that's what this therapist is for. You know, they're able to, you understand?
You're
like,
not a
bake
dummy.
Bake the bread. You like bake
the
bread.
Kneading the bread.
You understand? Like, you got the ingredients, but they got the, you know, the pizzazz with it, you know?
Yeah.
So I think I think what helped me go to therapy, when I went to therapy, is understanding that like a therapist is not only everything that I just said, a therapist is a life coach.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mentor. it's someone to help guide you towards the right direction.
Yeah.
It's someone that, you know, they're not going to, you know, don't think of it as like someone that is just going to listen to you rant and you tell them about everything that you've been through and you just get upset with them because you think that they don't understand where you're coming from. You got to think of it as like, okay, like you tell them, oh, this happened and I'm struggling with this. They will, you know, just help you build the bridge. Mm-hmm. You know, they will help you unlock something in yourself that you would not have been able to do by yourself. Because sometimes it just takes a professional to, you know, offer a new perspective. You know, this like mental health game is serious. You know, there's people that study this. There's people that make this their livelihood.
Yeah.
This isn't our livelihood. This is just something that we go through, you know, and it helps speaking to someone that knows what they're talking about.
Yeah. And I think it's also helpful, like when you do have your first session, when you're past that first point of not even knowing if you want to go to therapy. It's helpful to just know that you can ask questions to your therapist instead of just you yapping and talking and being vulnerable and opening up without really knowing the person. Maybe your first few sessions can just be you getting to know this person,
yeah,
who you're going to be opening up to, asking your own questions, and that will make you more comfortable to open up to like a friend, like how you would to a friend, right? Because you're not talking to like a robot. And yeah, and usually the therapist would be good to guide you on how to get started and maybe subconsciously get to the root of the problem instead of you just venting or you not knowing how to, where do you start, you know? So it really gets, it's the point where you have to get to know the person who you're talking to and then they can help you with the guidance.
Yeah, I remember my first session, I was like, hey man, like I don't want to talk about nothing, I just want to know about you, what's going on with you. And I think we spent the first like 40 minutes that I paid for, but I just wanted to like learn about him, and that just made me so much more comfortable to like, you know, like talk about myself, you know. So it really is just it's just like a mental health professional, you know, someone with that helps connect some bridges, you know. And just offer you new perspectives, because you know, like depending on like where you come from, like where I came from, like I wasn't offered many different perspectives, you know. I was just, you know, I lacked exposure growing up, you know, like I didn't see anything from like other people's point of views. It was just like me and like what everybody around me was going through, and I just had never been like exposed or like broadened or, you know, just like given more than like what I had growing up. So yeah, man, it's just they can help you in a plethora of ways.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good word usage, too. You like that word,
plethora? I'll say it again. Plethora is a good word. You got another
one? All right, the last one that I'm going to be saying in this episode.
Oh, my God. We're blessing y'all.
It's meal prepping and cooking for yourself every single day. It's exhausting. How do you do it? So this might be something I need help with, actually.
I mean...
Can you grace me with some advice and some words for someone who doesn't enjoy any of this?
I mean, like, all right, let's start with cooking every day.
He made 7 sandwiches the other day in one sitting.
Let's start with
making it like a lunchbox for his kids.
Let's start with cooking every day. I hate meal prepping.
Okay.
I hate meal prepping. I just
don't like the same food.
I hate having the same, like the first day of Ramadan, I made like an egg bake. It was tasty. But by the fourth day, I literally felt like I was going to throw up if I had it again.
Right.
I don't like meal prepping. I just need, you know, some variety, you know, some differentiation. I guess, like, the easy answer is get better at cooking and find meals that you can make,
at the drop
like,
of a hat.
Like, subconsciously, like, super easy, does not take a lot of time. And are like nutritious and like you don't get tired of. I think one key tip that I have that is a lifesaver is meal prep your veggies and meal prep all of your items. Have everything chopped up, put in Tupperware, have everything ready to go. That makes life so much easier.
That is smart. And that also makes so much you want to use it more instead of it going to waste.
That makes life so much easier. Pre-make some marinades as well. You know, like if you're making some chicken, it takes a lot of time to season this chicken. Have the marinades pre-made. Buy pre-made marinades. You know, like you could buy a big bottle like $5-6 that could pre-make, that can marinate so much stuff, you know. Like, there are like these little hacks that really save so much time. And yeah, man, I think it's just find those dishes that like you can make very, very quickly. Like, I can make Thai curry really, really quickly, especially if I have all my vegetables chopped up, ready to go. I've made it so many times. I can make it whenever. I can make it
chop
off my left arm.
Oh, I can make it.
You know, put me in the middle of the desert
and you're making I'll make
some Penang curry. You understand? Because it's just like things that and I was not like this. Guaranteed.
Put your hand down.
You look back a couple years ago, it took me 6 days to make some Penang curry.
Right.
Now,
but like, how'd you get it?
Half second.
How'd you get to that?
There are no shortcuts in life.
Oh.
There's no shortcuts to this. You just gotta make it happen. You just gotta put in that work.
You watched a lot of Ratatouille too.
And you know, I kind of fell in love with like the culinary arts. You know, like, I think this is something everyone should really strive to do. Like, all jokes aside, cooking can become tedious and cooking can become a lot of work. But if you like dive into like the world of like the culinary arts, like watch cooking videos, like, you know, follow some like TikTokers that are like part-time chefs, like just like learning about the world of this, it just makes you like excited to cook. Like, I get excited to cook. You know, like, I haven't really cooked like a meal in a while. I've just been making like things that like I just know how to make. But like, I've been like itching to like make something new. I was having this itch earlier today, you know?
Yeah. And didn't mean to cut you.
No, listen.
But something that also I think helps you, I mean, you have a lot of meals now kind of under your belt. But for me, who kind of gets overwhelmed with all of these different decision-making things and all the ingredients and then putting aside all this time to make it, I think having a list on your phone or written down somewhere of all of your go-to meals or things that you've made in the past is a good way to, when you go grocery shopping, and then also when you're trying to think of what to make for the week, because it kind of breaks down your different meals that you've made, and it, you know, makes it easier for you to see. And also, if you're kind of like a lazy cook like me, where, again, the decision-making aspect of it makes you overwhelmed, and then you have to meal prep and then cut up all the veggies beforehand. Like, it's a lot, right? Maybe what you said, having that pre-made marinade is a good start to making healthier food, because at least you have the pre-made marinade done. And also maybe having a chopper, the ones that you just put the vegetable in it. And
no, it doesn't work. That's a scam.
It does.
That's a scam. That's a scam.
It works. It works.
No, you know why it's a scam? Because you have to pre-chop it anyway.
Well, you have to cut the onion in half, yeah.
No, you have to do more than that.
No. Maybe cut in fourths, but not like all the way.
No, think about it. If you want to dice up an onion, how are you going to push it through something?
Okay.
Like, a dice is like a half an...
There's a dicer that helps, okay? You just got to cut it up maybe into fourths, but it will help you with the tiny parts.
At that point, bro, just... All right, go ahead.
Do you understand me or not?
No.
If you don't, then don't worry, you're talking.
Okay.
So there are like some shortcuts to the cooking part, right? And you can move on with that one.
Last bit, Trader Joe's frozen meals are like a lifesaver. Like, it's literally like a if you know you know type of thing. Like, for Trader Joe's frozen meals are so good, they're like fairly healthy, and they're so easy to make, and they're not expensive either.
Yeah,
it's literally a lifesaver. Like, you can literally go to Trader Joe's, stock up on like 10 packs of like the orange chicken, the kung pao chicken, the shrimp scampi,
and you know what,
stock up on it, and it's so good and it's so easy.
Something that we've been doing actually I've just been indulging in the food, but using some of these frozen foods and piling up on top of it and making unique recipes on top of it. So like, you know, buying the fun ramen noodles that we get and adding some eggs to it, or adding some chicken to it to make it more unique, and adding, you know, having that base already that is maybe frozen or microwavable or whatever. Obviously, don't do this every single day. It's probably not good for your health if you get like canned foods all the time. But, you know, frozen food or canned food or cup noodles or whatever it is, but having that as a base already, so you're kind of done with like the foundation, the hard part, and then adding your own touch to it with the meat and, you know, the eggs or vegetables, whatever it is.
Yeah. It also makes life easier if you meal prep a bunch of just like meat. If you like If you like, if you eat chicken, just make a bunch of chicken at one time and just chop it up and keep it in your fridge. And that makes like when it comes time to like actually cook a meal, like you have the chicken part done. You can just throw it in. And that's just like one whole other thing that like you don't have to worry about. That like, you know, when you're in like that the cooking process, you know, if you got to cook multiple things at once to make one dish, you know, it just lengthens the process so much. Like if you're making pasta, you got to make pasta and chicken, you know. But if you got the chicken out, that's you're half the work that you have out, you know? So it's like just do like half meal preps,
maybe
do
dedicate things that your just Sunday like to that.
You know, just makes like your life so much easier.
That's a good
Trader
one.
Joe's frozen meals too.
That's a good one.
It's a banger.
Good advice you got. You kind of popped off in this one. Yeah,
you know, I got a lot to say. You know, I've been through a lot. You know, a lot of lived experiences to share with people. Oh, wow. You understand? But yeah, you know, this is just something to light, something to, you know, get off our shoulders. You know, we are going on a trip to Florida.
Going for 3 days.
Huh?
I'm only going for 3 days.
Yeah,
I'm actually back by the time you're listening to this.
So. Nah, but yeah, hope y'all enjoyed this. Hope y'all enjoy the advice sessions. We always enjoy them.
Yeah.
I think it's just gotten to the point where it's like I feel like we've answered so many things that like people that look like us can answer. If you asked a question or if you were curious about something else that we didn't answer, we have like 5 other of these.
Yeah.
You should check out.
We do it pretty frequently.
But yeah, what's up, Blake?
You got any 10-second piece of advice?
Summer's coming up. Get in the gym.
Oh, wow.
You got 2 to 3 months to make something happen. It's time to go make something happen. If you want...
Your summer body comes out in the winter.
Where'd you hear that one?
Don't worry about it.
That was off the top?
Yeah.
Summer starts now. You understand? Summer starts now. Go make it happen. Go make it happen. I'm trying my best, okay? Yeah. I'm trying my best. But, you know, when I got a god sister that makes a 2,000 calorie mac and cheese, what can I do?
You can do a lot.
What can I do?
You can do so much.
Other than indulge, you understand? I'm trying my best, though.
My 10-second piece of advice is, if you're trying to go thrifting and you're trying to get the best collection, go now. Get ahead of the season. Because once spring actually hits, when summer actually hits, everything's going to be gone.
Yeah.
You're going to go in the thrift store. There's nothing there for you.
Yeah, that's fact.
Go scramble right
that's
now.
That's fact. Because like the losers are still going to go buy jackets, you know? We're off that. We're
really?
Past that.
Because
we're
I was actually looking at some jackets yesterday.
Nah, like me too, actually. But like, you know, like that's.
I thought I could get ahead of the curve by like looking now for my next year's jacket.
All right, that's OD.
Okay.
That literally contradicts what you just said.
Okay.
You just wasted your time.
All right.
Manga word of the day.
Okay, studying. Like what? What do you want me to say?
Don't learn studying.
No. What is it? Give me a word that we use.
Yeah, you know, kawadawa.
You like kawadawa?
Kawadawa is just like the action of eating, you know. Like it's not eating; it's just like, you know, like the
kawadawa
courtesy. Like I'm indulging. I'm indulging in some edible.
We do a lot of rhyming
things.
And then studying is lakapara. Lakapara courtesy.
Okay, that's all.
All right, we love you guys so much. We hope you learned a thing or two from this episode. But we will see you next week. Al-Hafiz.
Bye.